Bucky Bacaw here with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. It's been almost 2 months since I brought three chickens home from a fair in Maine to my apartment in Astoria, Queens, New York City. You can hear more about how that came about on the original broadcast archived at radioforall.net. Just search for Bucky and look for episode 95 on Saramas. But to recap, I haven't lived with chickens for over 2 years since leaving Boise, Idaho to move to New York City for work. When I left Boise, I helped set the original Bacaw flock up in the backyard of my good friend and frequent collaborator, Kevin. In New York, I continued to connect with community gardeners and chickeners through an organization called Just Food and through other venues. Many of those meetings were documented on this broadcast. I specifically missed being around chickens just as much as I generally miss being directly involved in urban agriculture. There's an ever-expanding network of New Yorkers in all neighborhoods growing their own food and exploring urban agriculture, permaculture, food justice, and what have you. And I personally was directly involved in a handful of public gardening and guerrilla gardening projects, but I still really missed having a daily connection to growing food. Meanwhile, at a lecture I was giving in a Brooklyn ale house, I met a fellow by the name of Sam Trayton, who introduced me to two prime specimens of a chicken breed I'd only heard about before. The Sarama, a unique and wonderful breed in many ways, most notably that they are the world's smallest chicken breed, between 6 and 10 inches, or 12 and 20 ounces. My partner and I discussed the idea of keeping Saramas in our little apartment before the opportunity finally presented itself, and we agreed that the goals of our project, which we're still calling an experiment, is to introduce an additional piece of urban agriculture into our daily routine, to prepare for the day when we do find a suitable place to live that includes a private garden or proximity to a chicken-friendly community garden, and not incidentally, to find out if there can be such a thing as a low-impact, sustainable pet or companion animal. A lot has happened in 2 months, and I do believe it's worth reporting on our experiment. I hope this can be interesting to my many listeners who are raising small or medium flocks outdoors like I'm used to, but I'm also betting this may put a bug in the ear of at least a few of my apartment-dwelling listeners. As far as connecting our Sarama-ing to the urban agriculture element of the Bucky Bacaw agenda, we're still working out the kinks, but I'm hopeful. I still haven't trained our Saramas to hunt down and consume the fruit flies, which are an inevitable part of urban vermicomposting, but my partner, Jules, regularly hunts down whatever flying critters emerge from the indoor composting worm bin and feeds them to the chicks, which brings all of us closer, and is a step towards a sustainable system. As long as Jules doesn't coddle the Sarama too much, we're hoping as they develop a taste for fruit flies, and finally we'll learn to hunt and peck for them during their apartment roaming sessions. We're already harvesting chicken poop and putting it to excellent use as a compost accelerator. I'm pleased to report that none of the friends who have come to check out our flock have reported detecting manure odors in the apartment, which is especially encouraging considering our harvesting system. We gather the output from their cage and their free roaming time, along with their soil bedding, during the course of the week. On the weekend, we take the fertilizer bucket down to a neighbor's yard where we are helping the landlady, who has had back surgery, with her container gardening, and where we keep a compost bin. My research indicated that chicken poop would most likely be too nitrogen-rich for our worm bin and be toxic to its residents, which surprised me since I thought Red Wiggler's natural environment was manure piles. But in any case, since we do have an outdoor compost bin, we decided not to risk any worm lives. Our observations seem to indicate that the compost bin is processing significantly faster than in the months preceding chicken poop being added. I was surprised it happened this fast, and this despite the fact that chicken poop entered the picture only after the weather got cooler. In the spring, we'll use the nitrogen-rich end product of aged Sarama poop and compost in our gardening projects. I'm eager to report on the results. I have to confess, I'm just a little bit disappointed to discover all three of our chicks seem to be getting more roostery every day. I was really interested in having laying hens in the house to see if their tiny eggs would even make a dent in our diet, and also because I was considering breeding for friends interested in chickening with small breed chickens. However, I will say that these roosters are awfully cute. They're not sassy with us, nor are they fighting with each other in any significant way. And their little crows are quieter than my alarm clock, and thus, sort of charming. Because their breed is often considered ornamental, and the roosters are the more fabulous looking, I'm hoping that I may even manage to make a trade with another Sarama enthusiast in the future. At this point, I'm waiting to see how the little fellas mature. As many of you know or have heard on my broadcast, developing chicks sometimes go through a phase, I guess you'd call it, where they display secondary sex characteristics and then suddenly have a hormone shift right before sexual maturity. And what you thought was a pullet becomes a rooster, or a supposed cockerel lays its first egg. One can hope. Of course, if we do opt for a trade, we'll have to see if Jules can part with any of them. And I guess that's where I have to admit, these chickens are at least as much pet as they are agriculture. But on the other hand, the most promising part of our experiment is the sustainable low-impact pet element. Unlike cats, dogs, or ferrets, our chickens eat what we eat, not processed food, and most certainly not animals that were raised on cruel factory farms. They eat the rice that stuck to the steamer and we soaked off, greens like fennel and carrot tops and cilantro stems, or bread just about to go stale, leftover oatmeal, and of course, lots of worms from our worm bin. My theory, based on what we know about the reproductive rate of red wiggler worms and the size of most indoor worm bins, has always been that most people's bins are mass graveyards of worms that couldn't compete for food. I figured our chickens would just be consuming the surplus population. And indeed, I see just as many worms in our bins as I did before we started using them as a major protein source for our chickens. Finally, unlike conventional pets, nothing associated with our chickens winds up in a landfill. Their litter and poop is not only compostable, but prime compost, as I said before. Nor are we going through chew toys or toothbrushes or any of that. I'm accustomed to spending time with chickens while I garden or do other outdoor agricultural work. Now I spend time with the chickens indoors, and oftentimes, that's all we're doing, spending time with the chickens. We think they're cute and funny. We like throwing a noodle of whole wheat spaghetti on the floor and watching Piton grab it and run around frantically, trying to find a place to suck it down while Thibodeau and Carmel chase him down trying to steal it, and often succeeding, which then begins a new chase. It's like the end of an episode of that Benny Hill show from England we used to watch as kids. But on the other hand, they are happy for very long stretches in their coop, which takes up roughly the amount of space an exotic fish enthusiast would devote to an aquarium. We don't have to go home for walkies, but if we are home, we have a good time, all five of us. But anyway, I always hate when folks go on too long about pets and kids. What I like most about my experiences chickening, and in the chickeners I meet, is no one is going for some kind of holy grail of perfect sustainability, whatever that is. Everyone, from hobbyists to back to the landers, are experimenting and playing, and they know it. The community gardens and backyard coops and crazy agricultural barges I've profiled have never been perfectly sustainable, but are always perfectly awesome places to be. I feel like every chickener is part of a transition movement. Even those who don't think as consciously about dwindling resources and collapsing systems as people who identify themselves as transition activists. We're all seeing what's possible and trying to make our lives a little more authentic and sensible, and that's what I call having a good time. This has been Buggy Bacall with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. Buggy Bacall's Backyard Chicken Broadcast was produced by the Sagebrush Variety Show with support from Boise Community Radio and the Green Institute.